Talking about submission is actually really exciting to me. I love talking about it because I feel like it's one of the few distinct ways that we as Christian women can really stand apart from the world. It's one of the few ways that causes other people to look at us and look at our marriages and say, why would that woman treat her husband in that way? Why isn't she battling and fighting for her position or her leadership? And I feel like it's one of the ways that we can really show off Christ and attract people to the message of the gospel by the way in which we submit to our husbands. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's a message that is exact opposite of everything that the world is trying to tell us. The exact opposite of what every magazine you pick up or every television show that you watch as a woman, their message is always look for power, get your independence, control. You know, they saturate you with these messages of power and independence and control, which is the exact opposite of how Christ has called us to live in humility. And we cannot forget that the very core of the gospel is to die to ourselves. I think it bears repeating. We have to die to ourselves, and we have to first live in total submission to God. If you don't first have a commitment to Christ, a respect for the Word of God, a desire to really obey all that He has commanded, you really can't even move on to any other subject. If there's something in your heart that is resisting submission and surrender to God and what He has commanded of all of us as believers, if you haven't been able to give that up yet, we can't even move on to talk about marriage or any other subject because it's really putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. It always has to start back there with that foundation. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command," John 14:15. And He has commanded us as women to submit to our husbands. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." You've probably heard this passage many times, and maybe if you're a believer for many years, you hear, okay, I know I'm supposed to submit to my husband. I feel like submission for me was kind of like parenting. Do you know how you always know exactly what to do as a parent until you have your own children? You've got parenting all figured out till you have kids of your own, and the Lord humbles you and you recognize just how weak you are and how much of the Lord you need in your life. And I feel like the Lord did that for me with submission as well. I really wasn't one of those women that was had a real hard time even just hearing the word. I didn't think of submission as an S word. I kind of agreed with the whole idea of it and knew it. I grew up in the church. But it was a whole nother thing to flesh it out within marriage. And one of my first opportunities that the Lord gave me to learn to submit was our very first Christmas together. And a girlfriend and I had gone out shopping to buy decorations for our home. I mean, this was going to be a pretty exciting first Christmas decorating our home together. And so we each found these darling little animated Santa Clauses. They were probably from the floor about this high up. And they lit up and it sang a song and, you know, had the big white fluffy beard. It was very cute. And so we each bought our Santa Claus and we brought them home and I'm all excited to set it up on the mantle at our fireplace. And everything was great until Francis came home and he says, "What is that?" I'm like, "Well, it's Santa Claus, honey. I don't want Santa Claus in our home or on the fireplace." And I was just mortified, first of all. And what made it worse was he says, "I really would like you to take the Santa Claus back." Now, first of all, you guys remember from a couple weeks ago that at the beginning of our marriage is when he decided to start the church. So I was the one that was working. I was the one bringing home the bacon. And so in my mind, it was like, you were going to ask me to take my Santa Claus that I bought with my money, and I have to take Santa Claus back to the store. What made it worse was he actually had a really wonderfully godly thought behind it. As he just said, you know, I'm not against Santa Claus. I just really don't want it to be the focal point of our home. And the big animated dancing Santa Claus is just a little bit more of a focal point than I'd like it to be. And you'd think at that point, as the wonderful godly woman that I was going to be, I would have said, I perfectly understand your heart. But I was thinking, oh, great, so you think I'm not a godly wife and I just hate God and I love Santa Claus? Like, what are you saying? So, you know, I pack the Santa Claus back up and I take it back to the store. And the guy's like, oh, is there anything wrong with it? I'm like, no, there's something wrong with my husband. But Santa Claus is fine. Oh, it took... It took so many days and such tears and such silliness now, of course, when I look back. When the Lord said, submit to your husband and in everything, yes, it included taking the Santa Claus back. And for me, that was just a real knock on my pride. But it was such a great gift from the Lord, really, at the very beginning of our marriage, to really understand what it meant to listen to my husband, to hear what he had to say, and to be willing to follow through with it. You know, what the scripture that we just read in Ephesians 5, it does say, submit to your husbands in everything. But I want to also be very careful to explain something. When it says in everything, it is not talking about the times when your husband is asking you to sin. We are all under the ultimate umbrella of God's authority, our husbands included. And any time that your husband steps outside of that umbrella of authority, whether it be to cheat on your tax return or to engage in pornography or to get drunk on the weekend, I don't know what it may be. But anytime he steps outside of God's ultimate authority, that's when you are able to say, honey, as much as I love and respect you and want to honor you, I must obey God rather than man, like it says in Acts 5:29. I think it's very obvious that the more godly your husband is, the easier it would be to submit to him. I think that was an obvious truth that we could all agree with. I know there are some of you who are just thinking, you know, it's easy for you because your husband's a pastor. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. I do thank God for a godly husband. I do not take it for granted that my husband tries to make decisions that honor God. It doesn't make it easy because I'm still a sinful person, very filled with pride, and I'm married to a sinful person. I know that's hard for you guys to believe. But it doesn't make it easy, but it does make it easier. In fact, I just want to take a little time out for those of you who are not married and say, this is why you must take this to heart now. You must realize what God is going to call you to so that you can make a very wise choice when you are choosing the person that you are dating and eventually marrying. If you see a man who is making decisions, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, based on the will of God, the word of God, you see integrity in his life and his walk with Christ, then you're going to know that it will at least be easier to come under his leadership. It will not always be easy. I'm not trying to paint that picture, but it will be easier. Which also leads to the idea that there are those of you where you are in a situation where it is not easy. If you are that person, I just want to say to you that I have enough faith for the both of us. I really do feel like I wish I could look you in the eyes and infuse my faith and my hope into you, that God does know exactly what it's like to be married to your husband. And he also knows the beautiful woman of God that you can become regardless of how godly or ungodly he is. I read a Mother Teresa quote this week. I had to take my kids to the infirmary a couple times at this camp that we were all at. And it was wonderful because it was strapped right across from the open doorway as I sat with my kids. And it says, I know God will never give me more than I can handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. You ever feel like God trusts you way too much? Don't forget that every hardship and trial in your life that is not a direct consequence of your own sinful actions has been entrusted to you by God. And also hear me in this. That doesn't mean that even in our own sinful actions, God cannot turn and cause all things to work together for his good as we repent and move forward. But listen to what I'm saying. Every hardship and trial in your life has been entrusted to you by God. He has trusted you. He trusts you with the husband that you have been given. I want to read another passage of scripture. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. If you feel like you're in need of some great encouragement, I feel like the book of 1 Peter would be good for you, ladies. Chapter 3 is another passage that deals with wives and husbands, and it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. I'm going to read it again. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. First of all, how brilliant of the Lord to take away the power of our words in this passage. Because like Francis said, we ladies can sometimes get a little running at the mouth, right? I know I can. We always hear that actions speak louder than words. I say that to my kids all the time. But I think half the time we're probably talking as we hear that. Let me ask you something. Does your husband see the purity and reverence in your life? Does he see a gentle and quiet spirit that's precious in the sight of God, like it says a little further down in that passage? Does he see behavior that is imitating Christ? Like Francis said, does your husband look at you and is he able to see Christ in you? Your husband will find it much easier to love and care for you in a godly way when you are a godly, submissive wife. When there is purity and reverence in your life. In the same way that your mind wants to turn to, you know, if he was just a little more godly, it would be so much easier to submit to him or to love him or whatever it may be. Don't forget that in the same way, your husband will find it much easier to love and care for you when you are a godly, submissive wife. The great thing about doing what's right, even when no one else is, or in spite of someone else's actions, is that first and foremost, you look the most like Christ. And like Francis said, is that your ultimate goal? Because this is one of the biggest opportunities that God gives to us to look like Christ is when someone does not deserve our kindness, our love, our affection, and we give it to them anyway. It's like in Luke chapter 6, when he's talking about loving your enemies, and he's saying, what credit is it to you that you love those that love you, the ones that are easy to love? That's not a credit to you, because even the non-believers would do that. We're all naturally going to be very kind and nice to people who are kind and nice to us. But where the rubber meets the road, where we really get an opportunity to be Christ, is when we do what's right regardless of how that other person is treating us. When we love and submit even when they don't deserve it. If Francis's responses and actions were my only motivation for doing what's right, I'd be in a real mess. Because he's not always going to motivate me to do what's right. Would you agree with that? Your husband will not always motivate you to love and submit to him. And your husband will not always deserve your respect. But please hear me on this. God has given them a position of authority over us. And we need to respect that position even when the person does not deserve it. I think sometimes that can help us as ladies wrap our minds around this, because it's very easy to say, well, he doesn't deserve respect. He's this kind of a person and he's that kind of a person. And I realize that, but God has placed him in a position of authority over you. And there is a time when you have got to respect that position that God has given to him, regardless of how much or how well he deserves it. Our motivation is always a need to honor God, a need to be holy. It's a need to be more and more like Christ. That will motivate us every time, if that's what we desire. Not them, you know, because there'll be times when, yeah, he's being pretty cool and nice, and then I'm pretty motivated to be cool and nice. But if we keep our ultimate motivation, our ultimate goal, where it should be, on the author and perfecter of our faith, that will motivate us every time. The great thing is what we usually want to go to is straight to the benefit. Like, I just want my husband to be different towards me, to act differently towards me. But I feel like, again, it's flip-flopping it. If we first make our goal about honoring and serving God, it will naturally have an impact on your husband. Your behavior will have an impact on him. And the added benefit, the side benefit, is that most likely your husband will be drawn to you. He will treat you kinder. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a man who does not soften his heart towards you when he sees a pattern of humility and gentleness and love. So at this point, I feel like maybe there's a little part of some of you that's saying, you know, what does this mean? Do I just have to have no say in any of the decisions that affect our family? Am I just supposed to be quiet and say yes, sir, to everything that they ask of me? First, I want to say we do have to realize that the ultimate decision maker in your home is your husband. But I want to say, don't underestimate the influence of a godly woman. God has given you to your husband as his helpmate. It's not good for your husband to be by himself. It's not good for man to be alone. God did create a helper suitable for him, for Adam, for your husband. And you're it, ladies. You need to be for your husband and not against your husband. And your husband will be able to benefit from all of your input, but only when he knows that you are for him and you are coming from a heart that is saying, I am your helpmate. I want to help you to make decisions that are right. I want to give you all the wisdom and influence and input that I have so that you can make the ultimate great decision for all of us. There will be times when your husband's making decisions that you don't agree with. But let me just say, if you have come to him in such a humble way as to say, okay, honey, I'm going to give you my perspective on this whole thing. Maybe it's that you're moving out of state, you know, your husband wants to move to Texas and you're feeling like it's just not the right thing. So you come to him well thought out at a good time and you lay it all out on the line. And maybe there's even some scriptures that you bring in for those of you who have believing husbands. I will say that if you bring scripture to a non-believing husband, sometimes that can be a turnoff to them. Usually you want to appeal to their moral side if it's a decision that's dealing with more of a moral issue, or if it's just something like a move, you would be maybe talking about finances or resources or ideas or thoughts about work. But what I'm trying to say is you could come to him and give him all of the wisdom that God has placed into your heart and your mind. Tell him your heart. Explain to him what you're feeling and why. But where submission comes in is where you're able to say, this is how I feel about it, but I'll go along with whatever you decide. With a good attitude. Because no husband wants to drag their wife kicking and screaming, even though they feel like this is the right decision. It's no fun to have a wife that just feels like dead weight that they've got to pull along. Please don't use manipulation in that way to change your husband's mind, because then you are acting outside of God's will. Your husband is accountable to God for the decisions that he makes. To me, that is a very weighty position to be in. If he makes a decision with the wrong motives and you can see it so clearly, you don't have to stress out about it, because God knows your husband's heart and he will hold your husband accountable for the decisions that he makes. But he will be holding you accountable for the way in which you pray and provide all the information and speak lovingly and be for your husband, and in the end say, okay, God, I will submit to my husband and recognize that for now, this is your will for us, even though I don't see how it could be the right thing. That's trusting in your Savior. Because it isn't about, that's worrying too much about a person and the temporal. And we need to be recognizing that God could be working through your husband in ways that you do not recognize or understand. The very safest place for you to be is in the will of God. And the will of God for you is to submit to your husband. If you run outside of that, you are not in the safety net anymore. And you're running on your own. There's so many different circumstances. Francis and I were talking yesterday about how hard it is to even broach some of these subjects, because every marriage is different. Everybody has their own issues and decisions, and we can't address them all. We can address, you know, the broad. And I know it's important to talk about some of the nuts and bolts of submission and our roles and how we flesh it out in our everyday marriages. We do need to have homes that run in an organized and godly way. But I just want to end with this whole thought that I feel like my perspective has changed so much in the last, you know, almost 15 years of marriage and teaching that excellent wife class, you know, year after year after year, and focusing so much in on the role of a wife and the submission of a wife. And I feel like God has just kind of pulled me back a little bit and said, don't you realize that it's so much more about just letting go and serving and being like Christ and dying to yourself? This is stuff I've called all of you as my believers to do and to be. I want you all to act like Christ. I want you all to deny yourselves. I want you all to serve one another and to put on love above all else, to be humble and to be servants and just to be Christ. And I think submission flows naturally out of that mindset. And, you know, I think I've asked a few people over the years who have come through with their kids that are so much older. And I think, you know, tell me what you did to raise such a wonderful son or daughter. And do you know that every single one of them does not give me a specific, well, you've got to do this. You've got to homeschool them. You've got to put them into this class. No, they all say, you need to follow Christ. You need to be Jesus to them. You need to pray and you need to trust God is going to work. And, you know, there's a part of me that just wants to, I want the list, you know, I want the A plus B equals C. But that's not how it is in the Christian life. And even in our marriages, if you want to be an excellent wife, if you want a good marriage, then stay close to Jesus. Walk with God. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk every day wanting to know, where do you want me to go, Jesus? Like he's talked about so many weeks ago, just being filled with the Spirit. That is what is going to transform your marriage. Yes, I know we have to understand our place and deal with the fact that we have to submit. But in the end, this is about so much more than that. Try to walk as Jesus walked. And then you will be the wife that he wants you to be.
She said it all. I mean, I love what she said as far as if you really make it your ambition, your desire to follow Jesus Christ and to be like Jesus Christ, then you really won't have an issue with these things. And same thing with the stuff that I'm talking about next week, as I talk about guys and talk about our roles as husbands and as fathers and for children. Is this whole idea, if you're following Jesus Christ, this stuff is going to be fine. It's stuff that you go, yeah, that's the way Jesus was. I mean, I just remember the picture of Christ. And I wanted us to close on this picture of Christ. I mean, think about it. Jesus was sitting on a throne. Think about this. In heaven, as the creator of the whole universe. And he leaves this place where all these millions of angels are worshiping him, adoring him. He leaves the comforts of that and comes down to this tiny planet that's on this universe and takes the form of a man. So he goes from that to this. Okay, and not just the form of a man, but the form of a servant, going around washing people's feet, healing people, taking care of the sick, loving them, even loving the people that were going to betray him. And then he's on a cross as people are spitting on him, beating him, nailing him to this cross, hurling insults at him. All because he loved you and said, I will go through all of this because I love you. I will go through all of this so that I will pay for everything you did wrong. Now, I'm guessing that most of us in this room love that story. That is the most beautiful story in the world. But my question is do you want to imitate it? Do you want to live that type of life where you sacrifice and suffer for other people? Because Jesus says, once you lose your life like that, that's when you're going to find it. And he says, I did this for the joy set before me. See, us as followers of Christ, it literally means we follow Jesus Christ. And we consider other people more important than ourselves. That very God, the creator, would allow his creation to nail him to a cross. That's the picture. That's the model. And I know that's not attractive to a lot of you. It's attractive to you as far as that's great that he did that. But it's not attractive in the sense of I want to be that humble. I want to be that giving. I want to be that sacrificial. And suffer for the sake of others. That means I do that for my wife. She does that for me. And we want to show Christ that way. And, you know, and the thing, let me just say and talk about my wife as she's left. What she's talking about here, and one of the things I love about her is she's saying stuff that so many people will hate, but she doesn't care. It's the Word of God, and she's going to lay it out. And I'm almost a little nervous of, you know, knowing how certain people are going to respond. But she's just like, you know, that's the Word of God. And that's the way Jesus lived his life. That's the way I'm going to live my life. And same thing. I mean, that's the way we ought to be. But I want you to know it really is the way she lives her life. And she mentioned about, you know, early on in marriage and stuff like that. But let me tell you something else about early on in marriage. As you can tell, I mean, she's a gifted woman. She's not this woman that's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, she's got some gifts. And I first met her because she's a singer. And she came and sang this solo at this place I was working. And I'm going, are you kidding me? You know, just the voice, obviously her looks, everything. I'm just like, ah, you know. But I just remember early on in the marriage, right after we started this church, some record producers were looking at her, which was her lifelong dream. And when they offered her the contract, she looks at this contract and she just knew. She goes, if I pursue this, I'm not going to be able to help you pursue this, Cornerstone Church. And for her to lay down and say, you know what, I just feel like we'd be going in different directions. And I believe that my job is to help you pursue what you want. And I mean, you know how humbling that is for a guy to hear that from his wife, that she's going to lay down her dreams and everything else to help me pursue what I think God wants me to pursue. And you see, that's when someone sees that, you go, man, I've never seen that. And like, no, you have. You saw that in Jesus. Jesus who says, you know what, Father, not my will, but yours be done. You saw it in him. See, that's what we're after, is for someone to see Lisa and say, wow, I see Jesus. No one else acts that way, but Jesus did. And I want that in my life as well. And I want you to understand this call to follow Jesus every week. I mean, this morning we had just the most beautiful baptisms last service. But it was this real picture of people saying, you know what, I'm done. That's a picture of baptism, is when you join yourself with Jesus Christ, when you decide to follow Jesus, it's like what Lisa says, you're dying to yourself. You're saying, you know what, I'm done being Francis Chan. And I'm going to rise up. I'm coming out of this water filled with the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God is going to help me to walk like Jesus walked. I'm no longer Francis. I'm Christian. I'm Christ. And I want people to see Christ as I live. I'm no longer Lisa Chan. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be Christ. And the Bible says when you die to yourself like that, that's when you're going to find life. I mean, I told you, man, I love my family. I love our marriage. And so many of the ways of going about it are so different from the way world teaches. But the truth is those side benefits is it really does lead us to having those fulfilling marriages and lives that God wants us to have.